All right. Welcome to the Cinco de Mayo version of the Orange County Parks Commission. I'm Chairman John Kuss, and I'm now going to call the roll. Seth?
Okay. Chair Kuss?
Here.
Vice Chair Schauber? Commissioner Ashland?
Here.
Commissioner Wilborn?
Here.
Commissioner Hansen?
Here.
Commissioner Muller?
Here.
We have a quorum, Chair.
Excellent. All right. Item number two is the public participation item on this agenda. At this time, members of the public may address the commission on items of public interest that are within the jurisdiction of the commission and are not contained in tonight's agenda. So if you're here for anything that's on the agenda, wait till that time. Everything else, speak now. But I have two speaker forms right here to start with. And it looks like a couple. Should I start with Sophie? Ladies
sure.
First. Sophie, wear it.
Yes. Good evening. It's me again. I'm just kind of following on our initiative that was started in February and submitted a petition, signed petition back in March. We tried to kind of overwhelm the committee here with so many people to show up like we did last time, but we still have our objective or our mission that we sort of serve for the pickleball community of Orange County. We would like to know where it stands, because unfortunately we didn't see it on the agenda, sort of a little disappointed, but we know you guys doing your best. Last time when we were here, you said that you'd be sending some people to sort of, you know, pass by and assess and whatnot. One key thing is that we weren't sure what period of time, because if it's not rush hour, then, you know, that really defeats the whole purpose. One thing to like to share with you is that as we speak today, Cinco de Mayo, you know, school will be out real soon, summer's around the corner, so we really plead to, you know, to all you all to help really approve it so that we have additional tennis courts with conversion for pickleball players. As you can, you know, I didn't take pictures, but there were a lot of different groups and there have been fighting for courts. And we didn't really, you know, take pictures of any bleeding or anything like that, but sincerely, we wish that you approve sooner than later. And it's a conversion, it's not a permanent thing, so please, by all means, support us. On behalf of the pickleball community of OC, I'm Sophie Ware. Thank you.
All right, great. I'm guessing you know the next speaker, Sophie. It's Charles Ware.
We were here for reinforcements. So, I wasn't able to join you guys the last time they presented, but I don't know if any of you guys play pickleball. I started playing only about 8 months ago and found out just how addictive the sport is. It's wildly popular. So if you ever go by the park, you'll see that. Or if you go by just about any tennis court anywhere you can find one, you'll find them painted off with all these other lawns. So if you go out to the park, I think you'll see that you have some dedicated pickleball courts, and they're always in use, and they're a lot of fun. And then you have one set of tennis courts that are painted off, and I think you guys know. One set of tennis courts turns into four pickleball courts, and I believe the rules are, if somebody wants to play tennis, they have the priority. If there's no one to play tennis, because tennis is a lot more exertion than pickleball, you could probably play tennis for an hour, where you can play pickleball for 3 hours if you were the same person. So there's two courts right next to the courts that are painted off that would make an amazing place for additional courts. And they're all very close to one another. You have the pickleball courts that are dual tennis courts, where you have four courts, and then probably about 100 yards over, you've got the dedicated courts. But right next door between them is these other tennis courts that would just lend themselves really well. And I think you'll see that there's a huge demand. It just seemed to me like the investment would be really low because it's paint and man hours, but the return would be amazing because it's a wildly popular sport that's growing fast. Thank you.
Thank you. Does anyone else want to speak on any items that are not on the agenda? I'll close this portion, but while it's not on the agenda, in anticipation for your possible presence, we are going to do a slight update as part of item number five, the director's report, which I'll move this portion up to now. So would I go with Pam or you, Tom?
Well, I can kick it off.
Okay, go for it.
Thank you, Chair. And that was in deference. I know that people come to the to our commission meetings, and what we have on the agenda tonight is we have a budget presentation, and then we have a presentation on fishing in the park. So knowing that you, most of the people sometimes don't have a burning desire to sit through that, I was tempted to say, since I think it was Charles, was that your name, sir? Yeah, Charles was saying that it's a low cost. We might make you sit through the budget presentation, but I won't do that. Well, I'll turn it over to Pam in a second, but we did follow through with what we were suggesting. We had our staff go by, do their observations, and then kind of come back to us and give us their feedback. I think we have a solution that we're implementing that's coming up, and Pam, I don't know if you want to just kind of explain what we're going to do out there.
Sure. So I can ask Pam Casso, Deputy Director of OC Parks, and based on the usage, what we found was that the four single-use pickleball courts are used on a regular basis. The dual-use court is not used as much, and what we found was that when it was being used, it was usually only one of the courts out of the four that was being used. And based on that usage, we thought it was more prudent to actually make it into three single-use pickleball courts, which is a bigger investment. It's about $52,000, but we feel like this is going to be a better solution. We felt that after looking at all the usage, that if we converted another tennis court into a pickleball court, it would actually be having only two pickleball courts in reality, just because of all of the balls going everywhere. I think that's the whole point of it, of why it's not as popular, where people were waiting to use the single-use courts rather than going on to another dual-use court. And so we're looking into doing that in the near future. So this will then make it so that we will have seven single-use pickleball courts. There will no longer be tennis on that court. And then we'll have three single-use tennis courts. And so we are going to be continuing to evaluate as we move forward, but looking based on the usage and the percentage of use on that one court really was pretty low on a regular basis. And we went at different times and days. So we basically looked for about 2 months and looked at it between two and four times per day and really looked to see, okay, what's the patterns of usage? And that is what we found, that those four single-use quarters, when it was good weather and a good time, all of them were being used. Tennis courts were also being used. Usually less people, because it's less people that are on a tennis court versus the pickleball courts for the most part. But that dual-use court really is not being used to its maximum potential right now. And so by converting it to single-use with fencing in between, it's really going to make a big difference and really hopefully alleviate some of the waiting times for the pickleball players.
Right. And so, thank you, Pam, by the way. I appreciate it. And I know that we've talked about that we want to be responsive to this too, and we feel like we look at it, we'll adjust in the future, as we move forward. I don't know that we have a timetable for the procurement of the materials that we need to implement this, but we are in the process right now. We've already started moving forward with looking. Our county procurement process is in full force to see if we can get the materials and then have it installed out there to make that conversion. But I don't have, perhaps at some point in the future we can have an update on what the timing is. A couple things I would ask, if you're there and you have an interest in hey, when is this going to happen, you can always ask the park rangers that are out there and they will have the information and be able to convey that to you. The other thing that concerned me, and I think it was Sophie that said, if there's altercations in the park, please report those to the park rangers, right? I'm going to look for a nod, Sophie. Did you do that when there was an altercation? No, I'm not saying were you in the altercation. I'm saying was it reported to the park rangers? So if there are things like that and can be reported to the park rangers, they can help problem solve. And then certainly what they can do is sort of collect the information if there are issues, and then it helps escalate it to where we can pay attention to things when they're problems. So if there's ever something like that where there's something that makes people uncomfortable, certainly if there's any safety hazards, just make sure you report it. And there's staff there that, most of the time you can find the park rangers, where the office is up at the front. I know it's not very convenient to the pickleball courts because the offices are up at the front, but if you can run up there and let them know, that'd be great. Or maybe get the park office and be able to phone too.
I wasn't there, but yeah. I know that the people that were there had informed us.
Okay, perfect. All right, that's all we're looking for, is just make sure people say.
So should we show up again next month to kind of follow up, because we're a tenacious group?
Well, and I will, here's the thing. You are always welcome to come. Any member of the public can come on any issue, and as you can see, we do hear what you know people say, and we try to react. I can't promise that we will cut off the meeting and respond directly at the front. Next time you come, you may sit through a budget presentation. Ronnie does a great job, and she would like a bigger audience, I'm sure. So it's entirely up to you.
We'll just tape off the pickleball court in the parking lot so they can do that.
Yeah, there you go. Anyways, I'm sorry, but I appreciate the comments, and I'm sorry to get into a back and forth. I apologize, Chair.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you.
He was first.
Yeah. The speaker here today referenced paint and time. With consistency, one of the things that it's mentioned to us is we don't move quick enough. Mm-hmm. I remember at the end of that meeting, there was conversation about let's go and let's do this quickly, and I'm seeing some progression, so thank you. So we go from hardly any money spent and a little bit of time to $52,000. So you've put pencil to the paper here, and so it's not just paint and show up, because I'm thinking people could be running into each other while they're playing the game. So there's netting. Can you do like a 30 second?
Mr. Chair, real quickly, this is not on the agenda.
I know.
And we can't have this level of a discussion.
You open the door.
I mean, yeah. I'm sorry, David.
But we brought it up.
Yeah, I'm gonna blame the director for treating this like an agenda item.
I apologize, and you know, and like I said, I realize that I should. And by the way, Commissioner Mueller, thank you so much for
opening the deal. Yeah. And all of a sudden, you're talking money, and here we go.
Well, and what we can do, if you would like, is we can agendize it for the next meeting, and we can tell you what's going on.
Great.
Yeah, let's do that.
And then we can have a discussion.
That was my first note, was how many commissioners does it take to agendize an item? So that was my first note. So let's put it on the agenda then rather than fix it now.
Sure.
I think we're going to take up bylaws at some point.
Okay. Well, I would be of course with
that question you just had.
All right.
Should come up on that.
Let's move on.
And by the way, again, my apologies.
All right, thanks everybody who participated, and you're welcome to stay for the budget presentation.
Yeah.
It's stimulating.
I've been fine, but I'm gonna leave it up to you.
All right, moving on. We're gonna go to item number 3, the consent calendar, which consists of 2 sets of minutes. Do I have a motion to approve or any changes suggested?
Move approval.
Second. Motion by Hanson, second by Miller. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? All right.
Aye.
Excellent. Moving right along. Number 4, discussion calendar. 4A, OC Parks fiscal year 2022-2023 budget presentation.
Can we put this off until next week?
Until what?
Nice try.
I know.
All right, so.
You want to go to Cha-Cha's across the street?
This item is item 4A, our presentation on the fiscal year 22-23 proposed budget. Ronnie Asiello, our budget analyst, is here and is going to be helping me provide this presentation, this riveting presentation to you guys. Tom Starnes, myself, and Ronnie are also here to answer questions, but we do ask that you hold those until the end just in case one of the slides might answer your question. Lastly, I just want to quickly mention, this is going to look very familiar. About 5 or 6 months ago, you guys received the strategic financial plan presentation. A lot of the sites are really similar. The county has a 2-step budget process. We have, at the end of the year, a 5-year look ahead, which is the strategic financial plan, and about mid-year, which is this one, a look ahead specific to the following year, which is a little more detailed than the strategic financial plan. Our intent, the strategic financial plan, although not as detailed budget-wise, has more breadth of information. We would like to look into providing you just one of the 2 presentations, and we're leaning towards that one, and then simply providing you an update on the budget, any changes that might happen mid-year. All right, so with that, I am going to hand it off to Ronnie to cover the financial slides.
Okay, so we have the baseline budget assumptions. These are some of the factors that are really driving the fiscal year 22-23 budget. We start by aligning to the 2021 strategic financial plan. The budget does assume maintaining service levels we do really look at those historical trends as well as current year projections, and we incorporate any CEO budget rates. That's going to include the Consumer Price Index, the CPI of 3.1%, as well as a vacancy rate of 5.71%. That's roughly about 20 positions vacant and any program request. On the revenue side, property taxes includes a 3.75% growth rate. So we'll start with Fund 405. This is Park's main operating fund. It does cover the entire Park system. However, Parks does have 6 additional funds that are designated for specific purposes or locations. If those funds have expenditures that exceed the revenues or available funding, then Fund 405 will subsidize. Parks funds are all non-general funds or balanced funds. If any of the funds have revenues that exceed expenditures, those funds go into a fund balance unassigned. We also refer to as an FBU, and those funds are available for future use. They do not go into the general fund. They stay within Parks. So as we're looking at Fund 405, I'm going to start by looking at fiscal year 22-23 proposed budget. It's $144.9 million. That does include $298,000 in augmentation requests. That's going to be covered a little bit more in the next slide. If we are comparing to the 21-22 modified budget of $167.6 million, that is about almost $23 million variance. I want to talk a little bit about where that variance is at. When you go up to other financing uses, the current budget is $36.4 million compared to the proposed budget of $19.6 million. That's about a $17 million variance. That is primarily the funds that are being transferred out to Fund 406 capital projects. The other variances are fixed assets. The current year is almost $5 million compared to the 22-23 of $651. Fixed assets are going to be the one-time purchases of heavy equipment, and there's just not as many in the next fiscal year. And then in service and supplies, there's a variance there. There are just slightly less of the large one-time maintenance projects that are part of the capital improvement plan. As we're looking at the revenue, we have an estimated $128.3 million compared to the current year of $126. That growth there is primarily due to property tax growth rate. Property tax makes up about 86% of the revenues within this fund. And use of the FBU is 16, there at the bottom, is $16.7 million. That's the projected balance that's in that fund balance unassigned, so that it would be completely depleted at the end. In order to balance this fund based on those revenues and FBU that is available, Parks is reducing this other financing uses. Those are the funds that are transferred out to Fund 406 for capital projects. It's not due to there being a need of less capital projects. It's they're deferring out some of their capital projects in order to align with that funding that's available. There are two technical and expand augmentations. The first one is an expand augmentation. Parks is requesting to add 5 positions or 4 FTEs for the 93-acre expansion of Mouse Square Park. These positions function as critical frontline roles that will provide services directly to the public. The second request is a technical augmentation to convert 9 full-time positions to 18 part-time positions. There is no net change in the FTEs. This will streamline administrative tracking of the positions. We move on to Fund 406. This is a Parks Capital Project Fund. The proposed budget 22-23 is $24.7 million compared to the current year of $35.7 million. That's roughly about an $11 million difference there. There are less projects in 22-23. However, there are quite a few projects that are being carried over from fiscal year 21 to 22. So as we look at those projections at 25 compared to 35, that's where that those projects are being carried over. This particular fund does not generate a whole lot of revenue. The 21-22 modified budget did include $1.9 million in a one-time grant for the OC Zoo expansion. And then in 22-23, it includes $3.1 million for a one-time grant for the Mile Square Park expansion. Use of FBU is 1.8 right there. That is the balance that's within that FBU. We'll be utilizing that first, and then the transfer ends is 18.4 million. Those are the transfer ends from 405, and you can see this fund is primarily subsidized by that fund 405. Okay, moving on to fund 106, Newport Highlands. The 22-23 proposed budget is just under 8.3 million. Comparing that to the 21-22 modified budget of 6.9 million, that's roughly a $1.4 million variance there. That variance is primarily here in your other charges. In the 22-23 budget, it includes $1.5 million. That's the county's contribution towards the dredging of Lower Newport Bay. We are separating out in service and supplies a harbor patrol cost just because it's a large amount there.
Yeah.
And then revenues are estimated about $5 million in 22-23. The use of FBU is $2.5 million. That is the balance that is in that fund. And then the transfer ends from Fund 405 is $682. So this fund is typically subsidized by Fund 405. If we're looking here at this line, you can see it's going down, but it's not that there's a need for less funds. In 2021, the brackets show that there was actually extra funds transferred over, and that's kind of what created that balance in that FBU.
Can I ask a quick question?
Yes.
Is there a reason we don't have a line showing where that funding from the county is coming in for the dredging of $1.3 million or $1.55 million? How do we account for that somewhere? Because it actually changes what our real budget is, because it's a project that we have to do and the county's paying for it, not OC Parks. So how do we account for that additional income? Where would you see that? Because I don't see any transfer in here or anything.
And the transfer ends in are coming in from 405. This one is primarily subsidized.
At 682, but you said that the county's adding an additional 1.3 to dredge the harbor.
Right.
Where is that accounted for?
This particular year, there happened to be a larger FBU balance due to just extra funds being transferred over in a prior year. So we're utilizing that FBU balance in there first.
So I think
that
there's
balance
a
comes from 106, correct? FBU from 106.
It's in prior year. So in fiscal year 2021 actuals, there was $2.7 million that was transferred in from Fund 405.
Right.
So that created a larger.
But you said the county added an additional $1.3 million. Can
I interject just real quick? Go ahead, Joanna.
So I just want to make a quick point of clarification here. The funding that's being used here are Fund 106 funds, the Newport Tideland Feds. They're not general county funds that are being used, so there was no infusion of money from the county to do that. The FBU, the fund balance from 106, which remains in 106, is sort of a excess money that just sits in 106 because it cannot be used anywhere else, and that's where the additional funding came from.
So there's it's almost just like a change in the vernacular. Mm-hmm. Ronnie sometimes says the county and it's parks funds.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that's
what I misunderstood.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, and it's just we're all one big happy family. Sometimes with parks, we're used to that, but I can see, exactly.
Mr. Chairman, could I follow on with Joe's comment? Because where is the participation from Public Works on the stormwater relevance to impacts to Newport Bay? Where's the money?
Yeah. Well, I think we were talking about if we can get through the presentation without that, but I take your point, right? What we can do is we do work closely with our colleagues at Public Works. Amanda Carr over there and we're in contact with her like in a weekly basis. Mm-hmm. So I can follow up and see if I can get some information for you, just provide it over to you to let you know exactly what they're doing.
What are they doing to help with the dredging of the bay? Because they should have a role.
Yeah.
Just like the Sheriff's Department should have a role because their boats are also out there. I think we ought to bill them all.
Yeah. Well, and I don't have an answer for you exactly what their contribution is, but I would get back to you.
What do we do with the sand we dredge up?
Well, I don't know, unless we could ask our planning and design folks. I know that if it's appropriate that we reuse it on some of our beach projects that we have, I'm not sure what happens here. So I don't know specifically with
Facebook. Look at this. It's a perfect opportunity to generate revenue if we could sell it to somebody that needed beach.
If it's not contaminated.
It didn't work, exactly.
Yeah. Otherwise, it's out there, like three, way out there.
Right.
So is it your guys' preference to go through the whole presentation and then at the end log up? Let's do that.
If possible. Yeah.
Let's do that. Go ahead.
Thank you.
If possible.
Yeah. If possible.
Good luck, John.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll move on to Fund 108, Dana Point Harbor. The 22-23 proposed budget is at 14.8 million compared to the 21-22 modified budget of 20.3 million. That's roughly a $5.5 million variance. That variance is primarily in the capital projects. In the current year, fiscal 21-22 included $5 million for the rockfall mitigation project. That project has been carried over into fiscal year 22-23. And then additionally, in 21-22, it included the Dana Point dry stack, and that has now been deferred to fiscal year 25-26.
Okay.
The in-service and supplies, there's in fiscal year 22-23, it does include an additional $1.1 million. Those are costs that are related to this one-time capital project. And then we are separating out service and supplies for Harbor Patrol just to show that the amount is a large amount there.
Mr. Chairman, question?
No.
Well, why is the Harbor Patrol cost so much higher for Dana Point than it is for Newport?
That's a great question. I'm glad you asked it.
Thank you, Joe. I appreciate that. What's going on? Why does it cost so much more on Dana Point, which is a smaller harbor than Newport? What's going on?
To be fair, right, it's a calculation that was created based on just a way to split the contribution from parks, right? It's a bit irrelevant because 405 subsidizes both funds,
right?
So I understand your point, but from a parks perspective and a budgeting perspective, it's really not that relevant. Both funds are at some point going to be subsidized out of 405. It's the exact same amount of money. Right, so I'm not sure. I mean, meaning the totality of it lumped together. Once 405 is subsidizing 106 and 405 is subsidizing 108, if there's a cost associated with Harbor Patrol to both, 405 will be subsidizing it, no matter which fund it comes out.
I understand that's where the money comes from.
Yeah,
I just don't understand the really grand difference. It's like $2 million worth.
Right. Right.
So correct me if I'm wrong, Ronnie, but my understanding is the Sheriff's Department calculates the percent split based off of the hours that are reported to them by their staff.
Yes.
So this is their calculation.
When they're floating around in the harbor.
Yes. This is their calculation that they put.
But they're also patrolling out to 5 miles. Very rarely.
I'm sure that.
Out of Dana Point.
Yes.
So they're taking longer runs out of Dana Point.
Right. That's what they say.
Yeah.
I'm sure they do at some point.
That $2 million a year probably not.
Right. We're not critical.
Hey, real quick before we go on, I'm sorry, John, but just how does the Harbor Partners lease affect this fund? Because effectively they're really operating the harbor now and paying the county for that. How does that impact Fund 108?
Well, it's just too broad a question for me to answer. Do you have a specific target?
I just wonder where the revenue that they're going to be paying back to the county shows up.
Yeah, it will, right? So right now that we get the sort of the rent that's going on right now comes back into this fund. The thought process is as they develop out the harbor, that rent increment will go up, and then it'll subsidize this fund at a greater level. Right, so that's the impact that the Harbor Partners would have. So they would be fronting the money.
But they're already operating.
And we are getting revenue from that.
But where does that show up here?
Ron, do you know where the
revenue is right
from?
There?
Yeah.
It's that.
That revenue line right there? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's all we're generating off that harbor. I'm generating less revenue than it costs me to patrol.
That is, and the hope is, as the harbor gets developed out and the rent increases, that we will see an increase in that number.
What about the increases that already took place on the slips?
Yeah, and I mean that's the revenue that we're getting, right? Like, so it's the percentage that's in their lease that's negotiated, and it's what comes in. I haven't seen. I think that when we had the increase in the slips that they just put forward, but that was within the last fiscal year. I'm not sure, and that would be, I don't know if Ron is even aware, I don't want to put you on the spot, but I don't know if that would be showing up yet, if there would be any kind of increase in that budget.
Yeah, I would need to research it.
Yeah.
Do you folks in Dana Point
pardon me for pointing, provide, have any harbor patrol?
Does the city?
The city.
We do participate.
You financially
participate. Participate.
But, but not like Newport Beach that has their own boats?
No, we don't have any boats.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking about. Yeah, just to clarify too, like some of the projections are based off prior year income, so that's why you're probably not seeing that. Ronnie can check into it, but that may be the answer.
Yeah, when I see that number, I know how much revenue the boat slip increase was generated. Yeah. That doesn't make sense.
Yeah, and that's, as I said, it's just a projection on prior year income is probably what you're looking at, and we'll get some clarification there too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, and then let's see. The revenues are at $3 million, and then in order to balance, there's a use of FBU at $11.8 million. That would leave about a $5 million balance in that fund balance unassigned. Okay, moving on to fund 459. This covers landscaping and maintenance needs related to the unincorporated North Tustin area. The 22-23 proposed budget is $3.6 million compared to the 21-22 budget of almost $4 million. That variance is primarily in capital projects. This is for, in the current year, it included the Crawford Canyon Park capital project at 3.7. That project has now been rebudgeted, carried over into 22-23 for $2.7 million, and the project was reduced in order to not deplete the reserves that are in this fund. The revenues are at $751,500. It is lower than prior years. However, in these prior years, it included one-time deposits from a developer related to this one-time capital project. Use of FBU is estimated at $2.7 million. That is the amount within that fund balance. In order, the fund balance unassigned. In order to balance, there's a drawdown of $132,000 from the reserve.
Question, Mr. Chair?
Yeah, I was going to say, let's just do it this way. Let's ask questions at the end of each section. No, go ahead.
I'll write
any questions
hand.
On fund 459? Yeah. Go. Michael.
Okay, moving on to...
No. I said let's just do it at the end of each fund. So go ahead, Michael.
Okay. In regards to the North Tustin Fund, does that include Peters Canyon Regional Park?
It does not.
So what does it include other than Crawford Canyon?
So the fund there is in maintenance of some of the trails that are in that area, and prior to this park, that was what the fund was, the use was for there, the pocket parks that were associated with it. The money that was put in by the developer plus some use of this fund is what's going to develop Crawford Canyon, the park. Right. There's also, in conjunction with that, a public works project that's a sidewalk extension that's going to allow people to access the park. That's going to happen, like I think, in the following year after our project.
Okay.
Yeah.
I really appreciate the clarification.
There you go. Yeah.
And I'll just add very quickly to that. North Tustin is an unincorporated area, so
yes.
A lot of the community parks are being handled by OC Parks, and that includes Bentree Park, Lerman Park, that sort of thing, plus the trails.
Yep.
Thank you.
Yeah, I don't want to understand the parks, yes.
Okay, moving on to Fund 477. This is the East River Linda Fund. It covers landscaping and maintenance needs related to the Woodgate Park and the East River Linda County Unincorporated Island. And these are pretty steadily in here. This fund is primarily subsidized by Fund 405. And then we have 15K Limestone Canyon. It is a trust fund for Limestone Canyon. The revenue is primarily from interest, and any excess is moved into the reserves. Okay, changes to reserves. The first change is in Fund 406, Capital Pocket Reserve. It includes $140,000 annual donation contribution and $870,000 drawdown for the Irvine Open Space Hicks Hall Road Bridge Retrofit Project. The next change is a drawdown of $132,397 from Fund 459. That's the general reserve offset costs for that Crawford Canyon Park project. The third change is an increase of $374,200 towards Fund 106. That's for an obligatory contribution of OC Parks and tenants portion to the Newport Dunes Dredging Reserve. And the last change is an increase of $89,500 towards Fund 405, and that is the tenant's annual obligatory contribution to the Sunset Dredging Reserve. And then John will cover the next two slides.
Thank you. So commissioners, this slide will look very familiar to you. These are the challenges that are ongoing that we continue to face as we manage our budget. First and foremost is our aging infrastructure. We have quite a lot of assets and infrastructure in the 60,000 acres of parks that we manage, and lots of maintenance obligations related to those. We continue to have a ton of visitors come to our parks. This is fantastic. We love that they're being used, but of course that exacerbates wear and tear and the maintenance costs that result from that. We also continue to deal with natural disasters and various environmental hazards. There's a listing for you there, but notably I'd like to point out the wildfire danger that's now ever present. Just this past year, we had two big fires in this area. One was the Emerald Fire, which did impact about 50 acres of Laguna Coast Wilderness Park. We also have our continuing costs to maintain our parks, and our costs related to any sort of legal settlements or regulatory requirements that we have as we obtain our permits, namely, you'll see there, Coastal Commission, which is certainly an impact to the things that we're doing at the coast. Our increasing costs are there as well. This includes inflation, like everybody's experiencing. Gas prices increasing has been a tremendous impact to our budget. Our patrols and our maintenance vehicles are all gas, many of them are gas powered, not all of them. But of course the gas prices increasing has really affected us there. And then lastly, we have funding constraints. We have property taxes pretty steady, which can be a good and bad thing. And then also, we mentioned a little bit earlier that Fund 405 does fund all of the assets and infrastructure and facilities that we have, regardless of where they're at. So even if there's a restricted fund, the revenues only go to that restricted fund. If that fund is upside down, Newport Harbor and Dana Point Harbor being, sorry, Newport Tidelands and Dana Point Harbor being two funds, one of which is already upside down, Newport Tidelands is upside down at this point. 405 will be subsidizing those funds. So this slide shows you the services and supplies and costs that we have. This is quite a large part of our budget. $100 million goes into services and supplies, and this kind of also shows you the interconnectedness of our funds. This is actually across all the funds and potentially could impact our main fund 405, regardless of where these costs are hitting. The expenses that are not under our control are the yellow and orange pie pieces there. And those are listed up here. You can see a large part of that is the Sheriff Harbor Patrol.
So can I ask a question about that? Let me go back to it. Does that add up? You've got $5 million for Harbor Patrol at Dana Point, and $3.5 million in Newport.
And then
does not add up to 15 million.
405 should also have some Harbor Patrol costs.
It's about $7 million.
Yeah.
Right. 405.
Yeah, that's where. Okay.
Yep. So yeah, quite a large part funded through our main fund source. And then the other part of this pie is related to funds that are, and I'll use the word discretionary, although that's not really what I mean. They're more under our control, but they are things like maintenance, landscaping, janitorial services, public programming. And as part of this gray area, there's food for the zoo animals. So things that we can control, but we probably don't want to scale too far back on because they will impact the upkeep of our parks and you know how we can care for the animals that are in our facilities. All right, so what are we doing to help manage the costs that we have? We continue to try to be very diligent about the way we spend our funding. We are aggressively looking for grant funding. We've already received almost $2 million for the Zoo Large Mammal exhibit and $3 million about for the Mile Square Phase 1 expansion. We actually also have $3 million additional that we're trying to go for the Mile Square expansion. So if we do get that, that's $8 million in grant funding, and we can use that to speed up some of the projects that we've deferred. They all need to be done. They're all critical projects. and that will allow us to get those done a little bit quicker. We're also really messaging with our staff the importance of spending on what we need versus what we want, and that has resulted in tremendous decreases in our vehicle and equipment expenditures. Ronnie had mentioned that we're spending about $650,000 on that. That's reduced from a high point back then of about $3 million in those expenses. So really scaling back, just replacing the things that we already have only when they're unsafe to use. We are also reducing the scopes of our project. Ronnie had mentioned that Crawford Canyon has gone down from $3.7 million to $2.7 million. That's part of the value engineering that we're doing to try to reduce our costs. All right, so I just kind of want to throw some good things here, because we do have enough money to operate our parks, maintain our parks, to staff our parks. So we're still continuing to do good things. In the past year, we've opened up two great facilities. The new Elisa and Wood Visitor Center opened up. We also reopened our newly restored Key Ranch Historic Park, which was closed for quite a long time, so that we can do some seismic retrofitting and repairs following a large earthquake there. We completed our Miles Square Master Plan, and we received record attendance, not just for our summer concerts and movie series from last year, but also overall in our parks. More than 16 million people came to our parks last year. It's quite a huge volume.
How was Donovan not back in Salt Creek? I know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, exactly. We'll get to that. That's coming up in a while. Okay, yeah.
And then we're also, actually, I'll talk about the zoo in a little bit, but that groundbreaking has already started, and Tom's probably going to update you on this, but we are done, and we're opening next week. Looking forward to this year, we are continuing the Miles Basement expansion project. We're looking forward to continuing development development of the documents for construction for Crawford Canyon Park. The large mammal exhibit is opening up. We're trying to save the Capitol Beach still. That's ongoing. And then lastly, you guys remember the fine ladies and gentlemen that were here at the last commission meeting, the park ranger recruits. They graduated at the end of March, had their pinning ceremony, and took their oaths that day. So, very exciting.
Are they working now?
They are. Right. They've been working. Yay. Pretty hard, actually. Yeah. So what's next for the budget? At the end of this month, our CEO budget team has reviewed our budget. We've been given the green light to go ahead and file for the board. That will be made available to the public at the end of the month. The board will be reviewing those public hearings mid-June, and then by the end of the month, we're hoping to get approval on that budget. All right, if there are any questions left for him, we can answer them.
Yeah, why is Donovan not?
Might go back to slide one. Is it too late?
No.
No, I'm just kidding. The cost per employee in 2021 was $110,000. And the cost per employee now, 2 years later, is almost $10,000 more, $9,000 more, a 9.2% increase. I found that a little bit of an aha moment when I was looking. That it's, of the 344 staff members, it's taken $9,000 more for each staff member. Is that something that's being discussed at all, that it costs that much, 9.24 more, to have folks show up?
Yeah, my understanding is that, I haven't discussed it, I don't have an answer for you as to what the increase is. I do know that each year there would be an anticipated increase. There was raises that were negotiated that we're still in the process of delivering on. I don't want to guess what the answer is, but I know that that's a factor that's in there. I can find out what the other factors are and let you know.
Is that a fully weighted cost? That benefits everything?
Yeah.
So
the 41,297, I'm sure, has medical, I'm sure, yeah, it has retirement, I'm sure it has this, I'm sure it has that.
You got a 5% increase, that's going to increase the payment into the pensions and medical.
Yeah, exactly. And like I said, I don't know how much of that percentage would be taken up by that.
I believe that would be worth, because that $9,000, 344 times, is a lot of money. And one of my other pieces is, how does a recession affect the Orange County parks operations, because there's something, you know, it's looming potentially, whether it happens or not. We're talking about it in our business, and what are we, you know, going to be thinking about? And that's just a heavy obligation if things start to slow down. Service and supplies up 15.4% over the same period. I think it would be important to come back with a list of three or four things that if a recession does come, what are some of the things that would affect parts so we can start to think about it. I wrote down, can we slow down in spending? So I just wrote that down. But can we slow down? Because I just see a large amount of money. Back to the sheriffs, $15 million. Too much over here, not enough over there, too much. Together. I just really think that it's time to sharpen the pencil and tighten the belt and slow down a little bit. It's been a lot of spending. That was my observation.
On the sheriffs, I agree with you, but you have five supervisors that pay a very small portion of the sheriff's contract because they do have to handle the unincorporated areas, but the cities don't get a vote on it. They just give the increase they want. Yeah.
Well, and if I could...
Not to disparage that, but that's what happens. So we don't... as an agency, really have a lot of input on that other than if we want to cut that piece.
Well,
We don't have a lot to say on what their scope of service is.
The sheriff's is a small portion of the whole thing anyways. Just across the board, I'm looking at all of this, and here goes the numbers. And we're seriously, right? I'm going, all right, let's just wheel it back in just a little bit.
Well,
so if there is, I don't need an answer right now.
Well, I have one for you. Yeah, on that topic that doesn't involve the sheriffs. One of the things that I would reiterate that Joanne was presenting is, and I don't want it to get away from us. Our staff is aware of like the budget constraints we have, and we are having ongoing discussions about what we can reduce. And for instance, there's a number in there that went from about $3 million to about $700,000-ish, if I got that right.
She referenced that.
Yeah, and what that is that's the control that our staff has over purchases of new heavy equipment and new vehicles. So we're noticing, hey, look, you know, we're buying a lot of new vehicles. Let's look at that. We did, I believe it was Pam under her watch, was looking at that saying, hey, can we reduce this? What can we do to cut back on our spending? And we'd look at that in each one of the areas to see what we can do. What I think we will see as we go forward is that we will consistently pay attention to any areas that we can trim that we have control over, right? And I know that Joanne presented, and I appreciate the way that you present that our sort of the things that we can expend funds on that are optional are like, you know, food for the zoo. Obviously, that's a bit facetious, right, because that's not optional. But some of the things that we do have control over, we are, like, monitoring, and it's up against some of our contracted services that we have, and sometimes when we put them out the bid, they come back a little bit higher. So we have to figure out, hey, do we need those services? Do we need them at that? Can we reduce scope? You see things like Crawford Canyon. It was originally a $3.7 million project. We said, nope, can't spend that. We have a budget.
And right after that, she talked about the grants that you constantly go out.
Exactly.
That was talked about right after that moment. Yeah. And we continue to push for that. So I get it.
Yeah.
We're doing all of those things. I'm not saying nothing's being done.
Yeah.
I'm saying maybe we can cut it back just a little bit.
Yeah. And my answer is, I agree.
We have with consistency.
Yeah, that's my way of agreeing with you too. Is I think that we very much are aware of that, and that's pretty much the thing that we can do that would help the budget situation.
Right.
So we can pursue grants, and we can like make sure that we're not overspending. And we certainly are tackling that, and we'll continue to like press forward with that each year. You know, full disclosure, you know, folks, like every time we have an operations meeting, I'm not exactly the most like favorite guy in the room because like all I talk about is like we've got to pay attention to watching what we're spending.
Right.
We've got to make sure that we're doing the right thing as an organization. And we take very seriously being like stewards of taxpayer funds. And, you know, it's important to me that we have a world-class park system. And the way that we're going to maintain it into the future is to make sure that we don't overspend now. And that's the message that we have at every single meeting that we have with staff. You know, to the point where, like, I don't think they're booing me when I'm up there, but this is the message that we get. So I'm 100% on board with what you're saying.
Commissioner Ashley?
What's going on with the Orange County Parks Foundation and the monies that they have that are set aside for doing maintenance or what have you on the Irvine Open Space? We talk about spending money here. any of this money being spent out there in the open space, or is it all being funded by the foundation?
Well, so, Chair, I just want to be like cautious about how I answer this, because I'm not sure, like, if it veers into territory that's not on the agenda. What I can say is that money's not included in our budget because it's external to the budget. It is being spent. You know, I happen to be, you know, present at the foundation meetings. I know Joanne was covering me, you know, at the last one. But there's a significant investment that is being made by the foundation, and it does supplement the activities that we have in our budget. It's just not captured within the presentation.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's money being spent for our system.
That's correct.
Okay,
yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Anyone else? All right.
I could talk for hours on it.
I know.
You know, I do have to interject.
You're a professional.
Like,
well,
we do,
yeah. Everything, yeah. Except for the fact we don't have control over everything concerned about. I mean, that's the downside where we're going to be sitting right now.
Well, and I am encouraged to see, you know, that there's vibrant discussion around the budget. I know we're not plugging in, but it is something that is very important to what we're doing, and I'm glad that we're everybody's engaged.
All raises, and we have to figure out how to pay for it.
I have a question about the budget. I mean, you know, these commissioners have a wide range of experience, right? They're city council members, they're business owners, et cetera, et cetera. And maybe Burke could answer this more directly than maybe staff can, but, you know, they have a lot of good ideas, but we're only receiving and filing. We don't make any recommendation at all. So like, we can throw a bunch of stuff at you.
Don't get me started.
Well, it's almost like, why don't we even talk about it?
Right. Well, I mean,
like, if they can't even make a recommendation, I don't understand why this is a receive and file item. Maybe that's a historical issue.
Because we have no control over the dollars.
Well, we don't have control, but we're being... recommendation isn't...
They are being gracious in sharing this information.
Nice. Got it. Is that the best way to put it?
Well, that's one way to put it. I do think that outside of that, what we do take very seriously is the input that we receive as staff.
Right.
And then we do bring the budget to you. I know Joanne had alluded to that. We come here twice a year with some element of the budget, and then what we hear at these meetings does form our opinions, and then we put it into action. Right, so it's not an official, like, you guys, you know, provide us direction and then we receive that and act on it. However, these conversations are a part of the decision making that we use.
Sure.
And so I would submit that for whatever amount you want to take that into account.
I knew the answer.
Yeah.
Can I jump in just for a second and support you and say that we are giving him support with every comment we make.
Yes.
Okay. And it makes his job and her job and her job that much easier when they step before the board of supervisors.
Right.
Or go to Dylan Wright, because, and he's going to step to justify what they're asking for.
Okay. Well,
and it is asking for every year.
I don't want to belabor the issue, but, and I don't know how you do it in Dana Point, but let's say when I was in Anaheim and I was on the Community Development Advisory Board, which had like $8 million in CDBG money, you'd have the staff recommendation, then you'd have these robust meetings where you had the board's modification recommendations, and then the city council would see it side by side. Sometimes the city council would ditch them both or whatever. Mm-hmm. Normally they actually took the committee's recommendation because it was super thoughtful and had a lot of public
closer input. To it.
Right. And I always just found this odd that, like, we can have these robust discussions and it really goes like, we'll just file it, thanks. That's just my comment.
$1 million here, $1 million there. Pretty soon we're talking about real money.
Mm-hmm. We did the same thing at Dana Point. So we're kind of the financial, we're the financial review committee for OC Parks right now.
Yeah.
The supervisors are going to adopt that budget.
Right.
A small part of the county's overall budget. And so I do agree with you. It would be nice if we gave input and come back and say, okay, this is what the commission thinks. And staff could say, you know, the commissioners talk about this is what they think we need this year, and then we could go lobby our supervisor and say, you really need to help us out.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is, supervisors are going to do what they're going to do. I mean, you saw what happened in the bankruptcy. OC Parks got hammered.
Right.
They took all of our money away, and we just finally started getting it back. and Dave's question about the recession that we all know is on the horizon, let's hope it doesn't happen anytime soon or ever, right. But it's probably going to. We're probably going to get hammered again, would be my guess.
I understand.
And so I'm with you. I like these conversations.
Yeah.
It would be nice to say, okay, we think we should do this, yeah. and this, and bring it back.
I think it's interesting. Most cities don't operate this way. But the county is just the way it's always been done. Just the way it's always been done. Okay, moving on.
I would encourage everybody here on this commission to go into the board hearing room when OC Parks budget comes up for discussion. It would be informative, eye-opening, because we only know a little bit about how the county works.
Fair enough. All right, moving on. Item 4B, Orange County Lake Fishing Presentation. Should be lighter.
Let's count the fish.
What is fishing like in OC Parks? And so we have several parks that have beautiful fishing lakes. This is Carbon Canyon Park that's pictured here. And I'm going to just give you just a brief overview of what that actually means. And so we have different types of fish that we stock the lakes with. The most prevalent is the rainbow trout. And as you can see, it's over 43,000 pounds are stocked annually, and that's just a lot. When you think about like how much fish is at the market, it's worth a lot. Catfish is another popular fish, of over 11,000. And then we do other species based on availability. And this year we're looking at some largemouth bass and bluegill. So we try to have a variety of fish and whatever is going to be healthy and going to survive and thrive at our
shore. Will the largemouth bass eat the bluegill?
Well, I don't know, probably. What's interesting is how it actually happens. So this is a video of how they actually stock the fish. Mm-hmm. It's basically just shooting out of, just picture almost like a water truck, but it's filled with fish, and yikes. They just kind of shoot out of it. It's a little bit crazy, right? This is another way that it happens. I think it's just fun. And as you can see, sometimes you can actually go by there and you can judge the diving techniques that they have as they're coming through. Wow. It's kind of amazing, but this is at Millsboro Park. It's almost like they're flying in.
If I can just interject for a second to interrupt too, Pam, we did have a member of the public that watched our fishing videos online on our social media and came back to us to let us know the number of fish that came out and they thought we might not be getting the full amount of fish that we were paying for.
I thought maybe you were going to say that it was unfair to the fish.
No, but I, yeah. No, I am an animal lover.
So can I show up with like a scoop net?
Right. Yeah.
They took a net and they started doing that, and they had to stop.
Illegal.
It is,
wow.
It is not. Yes, it is
that's
probably similar to shooting fish in a barrel.
No.
Not really something that we want to see.
Oh my gosh.
So one of the things that we've been working on in at our parks is really helping to propagate our fish in our parks. And so what you see here is we have a bass fishery at Carbon Canyon Regional Park. And so we have put together some habitat underwater to really help with the population, so that way we're not only stocking our fish, but we actually are helping to increase the population of fish. And here you can see just a sample of what that kind of looks like at Lagoonigo Regional Park, where it really makes it so they have places to hide. And so if there are places to hide, then they feel more comfortable being able to like leave their babies there.
So let me ask you a question. Why do we put devices down there like that? We forest, well, I don't want to say call it forest, but we trim trees all the time. they would be perfect for that. It's free.
It depends. It depends. So we work with the experts who can say what's appropriate, what's not appropriate, and making sure that we're not introducing something into our lakes that might not be good for them. And so this is the type of thing that they suggested would be.
So a big tree trunk might not work with these hoochie coos nailed together like such and such is the way to go.
Christmas trees work great.
Yeah.
So license requirements. So there, if you are over 16 or over, you are required to get a fishing license. And fishing licenses are pretty reasonable in the state of California if you are a California resident. So it's $54 per year for unlimited fishing in fishing holes. If it's one day, where some people just like to fish one day, you know, with maybe a member of their family, it's about $17. If they're non-residents, it's a lot more expensive. So we don't care about them because we only care about ourselves, right? And a license is not...
There's a tape recorder right there.
Oh, there it is.
Be on the register.
Let's slide this down.
But we do care about our residents in Orange County, and so they're able to get them more reasonable cost than they do.
Because they're the Orange County thing to say.
A license is not required at Irvine Lake, though.
Right.
Fishing derbies. So fishing derbies are a great way to get our kids into fishing. And if anybody has gone to any of our fishing derbies, you'll see that they usually catch, the kids usually catch fish. Sometimes their parents catch fish and say their kids caught the fish. We tend to just let that happen. We usually have about 300 to 700 kids that are actually fishing at our fishing derbies. This past weekend, we had a fishing derby at Clark. Mm-hmm. And we had about 400 kids that were fishing. And we had about 1,000 people that were there helping cheer them on. And it's pretty exciting, especially when a kid has caught their first fish ever. And it seems huge to them. And sometimes it's like tiny little fish. And they're so proud. And it's fantastic. So that concludes this exciting presentation on fishing. And I'm happy to answer questions you might have.
Mr. Chair, I want to thank Pam and the staff for doing a great report. I kind of launched this discussion a couple months ago at our meeting, and I think it's just an excellent way to bring families into the park system and really get them into the outdoors mode of thinking about things they can do outside. So if I can add on to that, well, last week I understood that the California Fish and Wildlife Commission decided to designate the southern steelhead as potentially endangered. And I would like to encourage staff to work with Public Works to start thinking about what the County of Orange can do in Aliso, San Juan, Trabuco Creeks, where there's a historic steelhead population. Got great pictures from the past, but it's kind of diminished now. And with the California, with the state kind of moving in the direction to look at trying to protect and preserve those species, is there something that OC Parks can do as well? And I just
we actually have been working with the U.S. Forest Service, and this week Public Works, Parks, and the U.S. Forest Service all met
with
some other patrons, and one of the things that they are doing that we're supportive of is they've been removing dams to be able to help the flow of this species. And we're looking to see where our land is compared to their land and making sure that we are not an impediment to this. So
I think that's ideal.
We had a tour 4 years ago, 5 years ago, of the Parks and Commission that was co-hosted by OC Parks and U.S. Forest Service and the Marine Corps, because the Marine Corps was doing the demo of the
You
know, the demo of the dams. And I don't know how far that old project went, but I know we took out, you know, a dozen. Tell me.
I can tell you the demolition of the dams is complete. What they're doing right now is they are doing the cleanup of it.
Sure.
So they're just making sure that they're removing any more debris that is there. They're also working on some bridges. There's about, there's one bridge they've completed to make it so that the fish will be able to flow. They still have three more to complete. So there'll be the ability for them to be able to get through, depending on the rainy season.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Commissioner Ashford.
Yeah.
Irvine Lake is listed here.
Mm-hmm.
Irvine Lake is locked and closed right now, for whatever reason. Once upon a time, in my tenure here as a resident of Orange County, it goes back to 75, more people fished Irvine Lake every single day than fished anywhere else in the entire system all year. Every day, there were hundreds and hundreds of fishermen lining fishing from the bank in their boats. That, you know, there were concessions out there. And that was a recognizable sportsman's opportunity. We don't have that anymore here in Orange County. And I look forward to the day when Irvine Lake can once again be as respected and popular fishery as it has been in the past. I think what has happened over there is shameful.
All right, fair enough. Anyone else? All right, thank you very much. Excellent.
Thank you.
All right, so moving on to item number 5, which is the rest of the director's report.
Yeah, the exciting portion of it.
I have to leave.
Yeah, can I just get to your update specific for you that I actually asked our communication staff, the folks that put on the concerts. Is that the question you have, sir?
No, it was actually, I knew what you were right. It was a crowd.
Correct,
it was a crowd. Donald Frank Ryder lives down in San Juan, grew up in Dana Point, so it's really a special deal when he shows up at Salt Creek, and he did last year. It was massive.
Yes.
But it was just on my report. I'd like to still talk about dogs on the beaches as a trial, and down in South County specifically, we can do it anywhere else, but I don't know how we get any agendized to have that conversation.
We can talk about it on our preview with Tom, maybe next month for a future meeting.
Yeah, well, ask if we can put it on next month's meeting.
Okay. Whatever. Well, I was going to get to that. Can you stay for just a minute? I'll move something up, because I need you here. Okay, so I'm going to move something around here. Okay, because I don't want you gone for this.
It's campaign season. I'm supposed to be.
You can't.
It's not my case. I'll vote back, though. So.
I'll vote for you twice.
Vote early. Vote
so off. I'm going to move to real quick commissioner comments, because I need Joe here. And I don't want to come across it to you, so I've had a long week. But let's just talk for a second about how we run these meetings together as a commission and staff. And just excuse any tone, it's not meant to be. I respect all of you greatly. But let's just, because I've been on this commission six years now, and I've been on many other commissions and stuff, and this is the weirdest place when it comes to, like, consistency on how we run meetings. And maybe it's because of the looseness of the setting and we want to be collegial and we have dialogue. That's great. In fact, on agenda items, I'm more comfortable with more organic stuff and not waiting until the end of the staff report. I like to jump in on Fund 504, because by the time we get to the end, it's now like, oh, we have to go back to the fund, whatever. I like the organic piece, but when it comes to the non-agenda stuff, I mean, you and I even talked about it before the meeting, and I was prepared to tell the lady, thank you, and you go, then you start answering the question. And that sends signals to the rest of the audience. I'm not bagging on you, Tom.
No,
and then the commission itself does the same thing on non-agenda items.
Yeah.
Can we just going forward agree that there's two simple places, there's one place to have robust discussions. It's item 4, which is discussion items. We can, and to answer your question, David Hansen, about how do we agendize stuff, we talked about that before too. In fact, Joe and I think 3 years ago when we were a duo, we set up routine meetings with Stacy to talk, to take input from the commission and bring items to bring it on the agenda. And it's not as simple as, you know, Joe, to say, let's have it on the next agenda for everything, because staff has to prepare, staff has to do things. But I think this commission is really collegial, and we will bring stuff. We want to bring stuff to them from us, and not just be spoon-fed stuff. So on the agendized items, let's have robust discussions. Non-agendized items, let's adhere to the Brown Act, and let's work on agendizing things that you guys want to agendize through the proper channel. And I don't want the public to think that, like, I can't do it. I can't go, Tom, next week, I want to hear this report on this. And none of us can either, because it doesn't help them, and it doesn't help the public.
Actually, you can.
You can, but it's not functional.
I know what you're getting at. The idea is, I want to see it on next month's agenda.
Right.
That's staff's chance to come back to us and say, you know what, it's going to take a little bit of
right,
time
exactly.
here. Can we do it in
but June even
or something?
Agreed. But and I don't know about every city how you guys do it or not. Most in most charter strong city mayor cities where there's directly up to the mayor works with the city's manager to set the agenda. In some situations when politics get weird and the mayor's in the minority, they vote to change that role, right? And they have two council members do it or whatever like that. Are we in agreement that, and that's not about me, I won't be chair forever. I'm almost feel like I'm walking out of here right now. So, as going forward, that the agendized items go through the chair and work with the staff. Are we cool with that? Or do you guys want to like bark orders at the staff? We want you to agendize this, we want you to agendize that, we want you to agendize
well,
that.
I don't know.
Not you, but it's happened many times.
I'm saying, I know, and you're not wrong, but I think that in the discussion section when you start to talk about director's reports,
yeah.
commissioner's reports,
yeah.
that's when those discussions come up, and you can kind of get a nod of heads on that. Hey, you know what, we have three or four
yeah.
commissioners.
I think, and they take those cues.
But then it goes back to staff to push back on us and say, you know what, next month's agenda is going to be pretty heavy, and it can be pushed that back out to, because I don't see none of us saw the agendas until a week before,
mm-hmm.
right? Because they've been working on their stuff, which is fine.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree with you. I mean,
okay, I just wanted to see if you got a general concurrence on this.
Does it have to be from the chair?
You've been chair many times. Go ahead. Are we dangerously in a non-agendized item?
No, this is.
Go ahead. I'm the antithesis of you.
Okay, you like full organic, stuff.
Yeah, I'm organic.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, sometime in the near future,
yeah.
this commission is going to be presented. Staff is going to submit to us some amendments to our bylaws. And the last time I think the bylaws were changed was in 2000. I'm thinking that's about when.
I don't believe that's correct. I think that we, did we not, and maybe James, you can help me with this, we adjusted the bylaws to the meeting times was an adjustment to the bylaws.
Yes.
Yeah. So aside from this year,
yeah.
It might go back that far.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I know that the Board of Supervisors has instructed somebody to redo bylaws, yeah. and they've given us a template. All the commissioners are being tasked to do this.
Mm-hmm.
That's an opportunity to
yeah.
do
but
what,
you
what
just,
you're
are,
talking about.
Are you disputing that we should be discussing non-agendized items in a discussion format?
No.
Okay.
I'm making
fair
a
enough.
Statement.
Okay. Fair enough.
I'm just
asking because you said you were the antithesis of me. I think we're in concurrence on non-agendized items, right?
Yes.
Okay, fair enough.
Okay.
And if you have to go, Joe, go ahead.
Thank you.
Thank you. I know that was a big
deal. Oh, yeah, yeah. I even checked in today.
But
yeah.
every chance yeah. we get to.
Actually, David, let's go back to the director's report, then we'll go, now that Joe's leaving, and then we'll, unless you want to talk about this item that I brought up.
We're fine.
Okay, go ahead. Now, I'm sorry, let's just go back.
No, it's fine. What I was addressing with Commissioner Miller was he had asked me on the side when we announced the concert series, like, he evidently his the band he was mentioning was not playing at Salt Creek anymore. I don't know why.
Mm-hmm.
So I was checking into that for him. So in full disclosure, the crowds were too big last year. So it doesn't, you know,
great.
The area won't support the concert because it's too popular in the area. But what we have is, let me just go over a couple of the events that we have coming up for you. You got in your packet, I'll just point out a couple because you can read through them. The Wilderness Access Days at Black Star, I would just encourage folks to come out. It's a monthly activity you can get on the open space. And it's, not guided, so it's open. Folks can go out there. You can register in advance online, but the ones at Black Star, you can actually just walk up. So that's an opportunity. We have another thing, too, which is a register online thing, and I'll just jump around a little bit. There's a night hike coming up. It's, if I remember, Friday the 13th full moon hike at Peters Canyon. It's such a popular thing. I checked right before we came down here. It's completely booked. So if you have a burning desire, you're going to have to talk to us, and we'll get you in there. But it's just so popular, as you imagine. Night hikes that we have really just fill up. That's one of the reasons that we have it there. We do, and I know we're running a little late, so I'll just say the large mammal exhibit's opening up on next Friday, a week from tomorrow. For those of you that, you know, we're at the commission tour, you guys got a chance to see a preview of it. Everything's going really just great out there. The cats are all, every cat that we have that was going to go on exhibit is on exhibit and getting used to their enclosures. The three young ones are in together. So all three, the two females and the male, are getting along well enough that they're in the enclosure. They spend a lot of time on that bridge structure that's out there. So it was a good
thing. Are they able to, are the cubs actually together with the bigger cat?
No.
Okay.
So the cubs are in the enclosure by themselves, right? And that's the beauty of the way that it's structured is that, you know, so they can be in different areas. Just this week, the jaguar was put on exhibit for the first time.
Wow.
And is getting used to it. Fantastic. I haven't actually physically seen the cat on exhibit. I'm looking forward to it, but I get like some updates. The reason I bring it up to you is I know that you, each one of you, should have received an email with an invitation. Is that, that's correct, right, James?
Yes. Yeah.
So I would just encourage you that if you want to come out, let us know, and happy to show it off, and we're looking forward to it. I am personally just so excited that the public will get a chance to come in on Friday and walk through those you know, areas. It's just going to be great. I'm really looking forward to it. So if you guys can come, please do. One of the other things I just wanted to put in front of you, even though we might go into it in more detail when we get closer, the summer concerts and movie series. You have, this is like, this week is the first week that this particular you know, flyer has been available, so we wanted to make sure they put it in your hands. This is an open invitation that if you want to come to one of these, reach out to us, and we will make sure that we can accommodate you coming to the event. I would, you know, for the concerts, more popular than ever. One of the things that you saw in the presentation was that all of our events and, in fact, our attendance is up everywhere. We anticipate sort of, we had record crowds at all of the events last year. We anticipate it may be more. There's really no telling post-COVID, you know, if you will, if we're going to just have a lot of people or if we're not. But there's nothing that indicates that we won't have record crowds this year, too. So I would take a look at, you know, I am told that Ozo Motley, the opening act, is going to be very popular. So I'm looking forward to it. I've been chatting with our staff that put these events on, and they're pretty energized. They think it's going to be like a big year, and they think they've got some really big acts out there. So please, you know, I won't belabor the other things that we have going, but reach out to me and let me know if you want to come to the large mammal thing, and let me know if you want to come to any of the concerts or movies.
I heard you guys were going to have Bob Seger, and I can't wait.
Well, I do not get to pick the bands. No one asked my opinion either. But yeah, we are there. The acts this year, there's a lot to like there, and I think that you know, I would, like I said, I would love to see each one of you out there at some point for these things. And I understand that you've already RSVP'd for Friday. Is that correct?
Yeah. For the mammal
exhibit. Yeah, so I'm very excited about that. Anyways, that'll end it unless anybody has any questions for me.
Thanks. Yeah. All right, back to Commissioner Carlos. Mr. Hanson.
We just had referenced that there's not much that goes upstream from this meeting to the supervisors. Did I understand that right?
That's a good way to summarize it, maybe.
Yeah, quick summary. And the first on the duties and responsibilities, the one is to recommend to the Board of Supervisors plans and policies for the acquisition, development, maintenance, operations of harbors, beaches, and regional parks. So it is kind of the number one, or it is the number one opportunity for us to put together a flow forward. I remember there was a time here where I brought up cameras. I think cameras should be in the parks, more cameras. There's too many weirdos out there and stuff happens and we're catching people later, and the folks that were sitting at the time went, whoa, no cameras. It opens up Pandora's box, blah, 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 blah. I would like to see some kind of formal way that we can make something happen here. Maybe it takes a couple meetings back and forth with staff information feeding us, that we have a formal way to send upstream information to the board.
That sounds more robust. Maybe we talk about it when we have the bylaws discussion.
Because that's one of the that's on the template.
Okay. So when is that coming to the before the commission?
I think it's our intention to bring it next month or June.
Right.
Yeah.
Bert's not here.
Yeah.
So I would like to then extend it because I believe his insight is very high.
What's the timing? How timely?
Well, our instruction has been to bring it to the board as quickly as possible. We actually did ask for additional time so that we can schedule it for you guys in June. I will note that July is a field trip month for you guys, so we don't have to modify the schedule.
If I may, and I'm only using this as an example, we have delayed ours at the airport commission 3 times, and the template itself says you can't make any amendments to bylaws without having 2 or 3 meetings for us to look at. Okay? We're not going to get an agreed upon bylaw to the Board of Supervisors at the Airport Commission probably until July. And our county council is not happy. But that's
So are you saying go ahead and have the first one even though you're not here so we can start the clock running?
I don't have a problem if what you want is to get the clock running. Mm-hmm.
I just heard that we need a clock, so I didn't know prior to you saying what you just said that there's to change bylaws.
What do you suggest, sir?
Well, my thought process is, again, Chair, I'm not sure this is something that we can discuss, at this moment.
Probably.
What I will tell you is that we will take under consideration that what we're hearing. We'll see what we can do, given that we have received instructions that this is something that the board would like us to do. I work for the Board of Supervisors. If that is their request, that is what I will do. So.
But you can't force us to approve anything.
Correct.
Okay, that's the answer.
Yeah.
That's the answer. We don't have to do. We don't have to.
We have open the
door. We can get fired.
Okay, let me point out. Okay, I'm going to be gone from the 21st of May until the 8th, 9th, 10th, or 11th of June. It all depends on whether I get stuck up in the Yukon.
Snowed in.
I think we've stated we're probably on the edge of. Beyond this agenda, but I appreciate this, David.
Okay.
I do. You have any Lord Benign comments?
No, I like the idea of us creating something that we can move upstream quicker.
Okay. Mr. Wellborn, you have any comments, questions?
Oh, just my usual.
Announcements?
Yeah, just, I think it's imperative on park staff to have people out in the parks and especially on the trails on weekends. Since the pandemic started, and you've made reference, Tom, the park population, it's booming. And that's spectacular, but we need more attention, especially on the weekends. And they don't have to necessarily be sworn rangers. They could be staffers. Rory is a great example of what can be done, but we need to clone that guy. assuming he's still working here. I think we need to look at opportunities and to really continue to build on that outreach, especially on weekends when there's so many people out on the trails, out in the parks, and they need guidance, they need attention, hand-holding, whatever you call it. So I just want to continue to encourage that to have more courtesy and safety in our parks.
Absolutely.
Yeah, my being absent is the only thing I have to say. Other than Dave Hansen, you can pick up the phone and you can call Don Wagner anytime you want. And he would appreciate hearing from you. Okay? And I can call my supervisor. You can call,
Chafee.
This isn't brain surgery.
No.
They've appointed us for a reason. That's because they're willing to have communication with us.
Yep. Supervisor Foley wants to hear from me after every meeting.
I'm sorry.
Oh no, that's a one-way street.
I feel sorry. I feel sorry for her.
Yeah, yeah. I tell her what I want.
And you're going to come with a robust slideshow of the Yukon?
Yes.
Absolutely
perfect.
And if I see a bear, I promise you,
I'll bring my Kodak carousel.
Yeah.
All right. Still love you. We're adjourned.
Yeah, we hope they love us.
This has been a very productive meeting. Okay. Bonnie, thank you for your work.
Thanks.
Good. What?